podcasting@backgroundbriefing.org, where you can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like that.
Hi, I'm Jalal from the Victory Bus Project. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
All right, All Together Now. Ready?
All Together Now is a new evening news show brought to you by WGXC in Greene and Columbia counties and WOOC in Troy. The show is a unique, community-based collaboration between listeners and programmers, both on air and off. If you want to get involved, send us an email at info@wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue? Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access? Don't keep it to yourself.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in ACRA, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service daily newscast for Wednesday, October the 10th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Hurricane Michael expected to be a Cat 4 when it strikes the Florida Panhandle later today. Also on the Wednesday rundown, our series on addiction and crime continues today, The Cycle of Addiction. Plus, Catholic nuns bring a message of economic justice to Arizona. First, our top story, Hurricane Michael has intensified to a Category 3 major hurricane and is forecast to strengthen to a Category 4 before making landfall on the Florida Panhandle Gulf Coast later today, with life-threatening storm surge, flooding, destructive winds, and flooding rainfall.
The Weather Channel adds, Michael will also spread heavy rain and strong winds to other parts of the southeastern U.S. after it moves inland. A potentially catastrophic event is developing, according to the National Weather Service in Tallahassee. They forecast that locations may be uninhabitable for weeks or months. Meantime, Florida's red tide bloom continues to be a drag on tourism, causing fish kills and inducing respiratory problems for beachgoers. It's uncertain whether Hurricane Michael will help or make the problem worse.
NOAA researchers say no past hurricane has ever managed to break up a red tide outbreak, but the cases where blooms and hurricanes occur at the same time are rare. David Hastings, a marine and chemistry professor at Eckerd College, says one possibility is the storm could push the blooms farther out to sea. But he says the hurricane could also feed the red tide and exacerbate the problem by bringing more nutrients to the surface.
The heavy rains will drain farms, agricultural areas, septic tanks, and make more nutrients go into the water.
In 2004 and 2005, four hurricanes clobbered the state, and scientists suspect that triggered one of the worst red tide outbreaks in Florida history, killing fish and shutting down beaches for more than a year. I'm Tramell Gomes.
And as America's political divide sharpens, Roz Brown tells us one issue most agree will be important at the ballot box next month is health care.
In a CBS News poll conducted last month, 70% of Americans said they think health care is very important, more so than any other top issue. Robert Blendon, a professor of public health and politics at Harvard University, says some voters are convinced that if Republicans retain their majority in Congress, they could try again to repeal the Affordable Care Act or make it harder for people with pre-existing conditions to get insurance.
When you look at all the polls, when you ask people which party, people who are registered to vote, do they see as better in health care, the Democrats have a very far lead on this issue.
South Dakota is one of 17 states that did not elect to expand Medicaid, although next month three more states will vote on expansion, Idaho, Nebraska, and Utah.
And now Mary Sherman presents part three of her series of reports on addiction and crime. Today, the cycle of addiction.
Mitzi Stoddard of East Liverpool spent time in and out of prison for a decade while she struggled with addiction and eventually got clean when her family got her into rehab. Stoddard explained sobriety achieved behind bars won't stick upon release unless people have the appropriate treatment.
You go there and then you feel worse about yourself, and then you have this label that you are a criminal and an addict and you're this bad person, and you get out and more people don't want anything to do with you. And your way of coping as an addict is to use because it makes that feeling go away.
Reverend Susan Smith of Columbus says she's seen the vicious cycle of addiction in prison in her community.
I'll never forget this one guy came in the middle of the night and he was sobbing. He was sobbing. He said, Reverend Susan, I just can't do this. And he said, I don't understand why I can't beat.
Issue 1 would reclassify nonviolent drug possession as a misdemeanor. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
Security officers in Pittsburgh celebrating a new contract that for many almost doubles the pay and benefits they were getting just a few years ago.
The agreement was announced in Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto's conference room on Tuesday. It covers more than 1,100 workers who protect most of the city's iconic buildings, museums, and universities. According to Sam Williamson with Local 32BJ of the Service Employees International Union, just 3 years ago, when they negotiated their first contract, some of these workers were making $8.50 an hour and had no employer-funded health insurance. Now, their jobs include insurance, and they're moving toward a living wage.
Raised the base or starting pay to $14.20 an hour over the course of the contract, and the average pay will be a little over $15 an hour by the end of the agreement.
He says those raises will bring an additional $7 million over 4 years into low-income households and neighborhoods across Pittsburgh. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Finally, Catherine Davis-Young reports election season's in high gear in Arizona, and amid messaging from candidates and political action committees, a new group joins the political conversation in the state this week, Catholic Nuns.
The Nuns on the Bus tour is driving cross-country to share a message of economic justice. A handful of Catholic sisters from orders around the country visit Phoenix and Tucson today and tomorrow. The group's leader, Sister Simone Campbell, says her faith teaches her to look out for society's most vulnerable people. And in her view, politics is an important piece of that.
Quite frankly, the Constitution's best values are quite similar to my faith values. And what we know is it's about we the people.
The politically active Catholic sisters will visit 21 states on their tour. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Wednesday should be partly sunny with a high near 75, low around 63 Wednesday night, but the showers and rain arrive after 3 a.m., patchy fog in the morning, too. Thursday, there's a 100% chance of rain. It could be very heavy at times, close to 1 inch possible in some areas. Thursday with a high of 69. Thursday night, showers continue, 50% chance, with a low around 50. Then Friday, it should be partly sunny with a high near 54 and a low around 41. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
Oh, honey, I just heard some terrible news.
What's that, honey?
The radio station WGXC is going off the air.
Oh my goodness, did you know you could donate by check? Give them a check to WGXC 5662 Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405.
And you can also go to their website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and donate monthly, a sustaining supporter.
Oh, I'll be a sustaining supporter, honey, once we get up to that St. Charles Hotel.
Oh, yes, I love the bar there.
There's no bar there.
That's what I meant.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events. Wednesday, October 10th, there's a big show in Western Massachusetts. Charlam Beattie's Wet Tuna and Joshua Burkett play at 8 p.m. at the Root Cellar, Greenfield, Massachusetts. Also in Catskill, a big show. Interplanetary Music is the name of the show. It's an evening of Sun Ra at High Low with Keith Prey, Chris Payson, Scott Petito, Otto Hauser, Tyler Wood, Jonathan Talbot, Danny Bloom, Mitch Kessler, Don Mickelson, and other special guests. That's Wednesday, October 10th, 8 p.m. at High Low in Catskill. Thursday, October 11th is the Bi-Local Business Expo at the Columbia Green Community College. That's from 4 to 7 p.m. Then Thursday, October 11th, the Albany Institute of History and Art shows the film Brought to Light, Unearthing the History of an African-American Cemetery in Kinderhook, New York. That's from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Albany Institute of History and Art, 125 Washington Avenue in Albany. Bridge Street Theater is putting on Driving Miss Daisy all weekend, October 11th through October 14th. Catskill's Flo Hale is the director at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. At the Half Moon in Hudson on Thursday, Emily Ritz opens for Chris Garneau. His new album, Yours, is out next month. Emily is from Hudson, or lives here now at least. Luster Lit is in Catskill at High Low Thursday, October 11th. They're the show from the Bushwick Book Club in Brooklyn that does songs about books. It's 8 to 10 p.m. Thursday, October 11th at High Low in Catskill. Friday, October 12th, we've been telling you this morning, is voter registration deadline. There's also a job search help Friday at 10 a.m. at the Hudson Area Library. The First Reformed Church of Catskill has its annual rummage sale on Friday, October 12th and Saturday, October 13th. Friday, October 12th, it's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The First Reformed Church of Catskill
Also, Friday, October 12th, Bobby Privett's Rhapsody Band is at the Hudson Opera House, or Hudson Hall at the Hudson Opera House. Tomato. Tomato. That's Bobby Previtt on drums, the drummer-composer playing with Nels Klein on guitar. He plays in Wilco and is an amazing guitarist. John Medeski, Zena Parkins, Jen Shu, they're all in the band. Bobby Previtt's Rhapsody Band, that is. 7 p.m. Friday, October 12th at the Hudson Opera House. Half Waif, Christopher Tigner and Emily Ritz are at Hilo, or actually next to Hilo, Friday, October 12th. What was formerly known as the Catskill Mill is hosting the show, but Hilo is putting it on. You need tickets for this event. It's not one of those free Hilo shows. It's an actual ticketed event. Next door to Hilo, 8 p.m. Friday, October 12th, Half Waif, Christopher Tigner, and Emily Ritz. If that's not your flavor that night, Friday, October 12th, the Feelies are at Club Helsinki, Hudson, 9 p.m. Saturday, October 13th, you can learn to make your own bra at the Drop Forge and Tool space, 442 Warren Street in Hudson. It's a two-day workshop, Friday or Saturday and Sunday. That fall rummage sale continues at the First Reformed Church of Catskill Saturday, October 13th, from 9 a.m. to just 1 p.m. on Saturday. Gallatin Residents Association has invited candidates from the Congressional District 19, State Senate District 43, and State Assembly District 106 to a Meet the Candidates Forum, 1 to 2:30 p.m. Saturday, October 13th. Doesn't say who's going to be there for sure, but they've invited them at least. That's at the Gallatin Town Hall off Route 7. 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Saturday, October 13th. Also Saturday, October 13th at 4 p.m., Spirited Away is shown at the Hudson Area Library. That's put on by the library's Tween Advisory Council. 4 p.m. Saturday, October 13th. There's a film, A Bold Piece, at the Old Chatham Quaker Meeting House in Old Chatham, Saturday, October 13th at 6 p.m. One Straw Revolution is the band playing at the Swing Dance at the Dewey Hall Saturday, October 13th at 7:30 p.m. in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Swing Dance with a lesson from Jason Fenton at 7:30 p.m. and then One Straw Revolution plays at 8:30 p.m. Saturday, October 13th. Closer to our transmitter, at least, Tyler Wood and Otto Hauser and Elvis Perkins improvise Saturday, October 13th at Hilo in Catskill. That's at 8:30 p.m. And there should be a live web stream, as there is at all other Hilo shows. And we should have that probably live on the radio as well. But if not, you can hear it as a live web stream at any WGXC page. Click on Listen Now, and you can see you have a variety of choices, five or six different flavors of radio. You can listen to it anytime at WGXC.org by clicking on Listen Now. Sunday, October 14th, The Elements of Style at Edgewater is a show, part of a lecture series, Life Along the Hudson, Historic Country Estates of the Livingston Family. So Peter Kenny, the co-president of Classical American Homes Preservation Trust, will talk at the Hudson Opera House, 2 p.m. Sunday, October 14th, while Pamela Badilla tells folk tales and stories at the Hudson Area Library at 2 p.m. Sunday, October 14th. Same time, just down this block. These events and more are online at the WGXC community calendar, online at WGXC.org. Find these events and more information, links to click on, WGXC.org.
Next, we have these reports.
I'm here in the studio with Jim Mustick, author of the new book, 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, a life-changing list, published by Workman. Jim, this is a big book.
It is, Tom. As you can as you can see, it's almost 1,000 pages and about 900 pages of text, and then lots of indexes to help people navigate their way through the list that I've made. Each book has each of the 1,000 has a essay attached to it, as you know, and some end notes with it too to recommend other reading. So altogether, there's about over 5,000 books that are encompassed in it.
Your publisher has done other books in this. This is part of a series, the 1,000 whatever it's to do before you die series. So
correct.
That kind of accounts for part of the title. How did you interest them in doing it for books?
Well, Peter Workman, who passed away sadly some years ago, so didn't get to see this publication, started the series with a book by Patricia Schultz called 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. And then he wanted to do others in the series. And we had been friends for some time, and he had always took an interest in the business that I had at that time called The Common Reader, which was a more than monthly, about 15, 17 times a year, mail order catalog that we did writing about books. So we were talking one day and he said, you know, I'd love to do a 1,000 things book about books. Would you be interested? And it took off from there.
How many years ago was that?
That was, I signed the contract for this book 14 years ago.
14 years ago.
So it's been quite some time in the making.
And I guess that answers the question that I'm sure is on everyone's mind. Did you read the 1,000 books?
Of course.
Right?
Yes, that's the question I get frequently asked. I have, in full disclosure, I have read most of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them, like The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, not in their entirety, mm-hmm. admittedly. And because I've been a bookseller all of my adult life, I suspect that if you could go to the videotape, so to speak, there are some books in here that I truly believe I've read, but I've just been talking about with readers for so long that I may not have actually read them, but I'm
right.
familiar enough with them after all these years of conversation about them.
And as you say, there are thousands of other books recommended in the end notes and various helpful addenda that you have to each entry. Let's talk about what makes you, I mean, you haven't published any books before. And you're not in your 20s. What makes you qualified to write this book? Let me rephrase that. What's your background in the book world? How's that sound?
Okay. In my youth, one of my first jobs was in an independent bookstore. I've been a bookseller of various stripes ever since then. In 1986, I started the catalog I referred to called The Common Reader. And for 20 years,
wow.
we issued 15 to 17 catalogs a year. Those catalogs were about 144 pages apiece. I wrote about a lot of books because it was a way to, you've worked in a bookstore, so you know, in a bookstore setting, you don't always spend your time selling the most interesting books. And you have to be there on Saturdays and when the weather is really nice. So the mail order catalog was a way to pick the books that I wanted to sell and to share with readers and also to write about them because mm-hmm. I always wanted to write. So that was really a large part of my career. So I think both the bookselling knowledge from being in a store and then from doing the catalog for so long prepared me for this task because this in some ways is a kind of memorial version of one of the catalogs.
Right. And in your catalog, you did just, it wasn't just a listing. Each book came with a significant paragraph or two or more recommending the books. And I have to affirm what you say about working in a bookstore that you find yourself not only recommending books, but you find yourself learning about categories of books you never would have explored before.
Exactly. And I still have, I think it's 6 or 7 large file cabinets in our basement at home with correspondence we'd get from readers of the catalog.
Recommending books. Wow.
You know, I noticed you have this book in the catalog. You know, why don't you have this one? And those letters, and back in the day then, it was actual letters we'd get in the mail or then emails of very thoughtful and passionate readers being evangelical about the things that they loved. And so a lot of the books in here, in fact, came from those original recommendations. One example, I remember there was a lieutenant in the Navy who recommended to me the Swallows and Amazons books by Arthur Ransom. Because
my wife loves them.
And he would love reading them to his kids. He wrote me the most eloquent letter about these books. So a lot of what's in the book is informed with that kind of readerly enthusiasm.
And I guess this book could easily inspire future conversations like that. I'm sure you'll get a lot of response, both in the press and probably through the mail.
Indeed. I was speaking to someone recently, and I said I spent 14 years writing the book, and I expect to spend the next 14 months going around to bookstores and libraries talking to people to find out what I got wrong. You know,
or because, what you should add to the next 1,000.
Exactly. But people are very engaged with it, and I write about this in the introduction to the book. This is not meant to be authoritative or comprehensive.
It's not a great books list.
No.
The first thing I had to comprehend was that this is not something you pick up and say, these 1,000 books will make me a learned person. That's
right.
Not the idea.
Right. The idea is what about books speaks to people? What spoke to me particularly? So there's everything in here from terms of a reader's life, from Goodnight Moon to, The Year of Magical Thinking, Joan Didion's mm-hmm. book about grief. In time, it ranges from the Epic of Gilgamesh up to a book published last year called Life in Code by Ellen Ullman.
It's funny you mentioned that. It's one of the ones I was going to ask you about because I was inspired. I've had the good fortune to read the book. And I was inspired to pursue some authors I had never heard of and books I'd never heard of, including Ellen...
Ullman.
Ullman.
Yep.
Life in Code, The Fiction of Diane
Schimperlin.
Schimperlin?
Yeah, the Canadian writer. Yeah. It was just a marvelous book called
amazing.
Forms of Devotion. Yeah.
How did you find out about her? I should say that I feel like I should have known about her because she has a lot of books.
She does. One of the good fortunes of the catalog business that I had is that publishers would send advanced copies of books and editors of, especially of kind of books that had something special about them would send them to us because they know we would treat them with
right.
the kind of respect that they were looking for. And that's how
right.
that one came in.
Just like this book, your catalog wasn't just a list of bestsellers or books that, you know, were even sort of the indie hot books. It was a real, it had a lot of personality behind it, yours as well as the people who worked with you.
Yes.
Another one that just blew me away was I can't even remember how to pronounce his name. Theriault?
Yeah. Theriault. That's a wonderful book called How to Tell When You're Tired.
Right.
And the author was a...
Longshoreman. Yeah.
And he writes about his life as a longshoreman, but he writes about life as he experienced it, not just as a longshoreman, but as a thinking person, you know, who was in that line of work and in that world. And it was just eye-opening to me. And it has one of the great titles of all time, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah. I saw it out of his other book. Not only do you, introduce readers to books that they may never heard of, but you make passionate cases for some writers you may have heard of but weren't really, like, committed to reading. I mean, in my case, Clarice Lispector came in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Burton Rouche, who I was always familiar, you know, I always knew that name from New Yorker, but never really read him. Going back further, the William Ruffhead work on crime stories.
Yes.
I mean, crime.
Classic
non-fictional crimes.
Yep. One of the original true crime books,
yeah,
actually.
And Herbert Butler. Now, it's funny about Herbert Butler. I remember you recommending him in another context. It could have been Common Reader.
Yeah.
Just to show that, you know, how these things overlap. You want to talk a little bit about Herbert Butler?
Herbert Butler was an Anglo-Irish writer who lived most of his life in a radius of 25 miles on a family estate. He also had some experiences in Eastern Europe, though, in the middle of the century, which he writes very tellingly about. But he has a series of essays just about his home county, his home, you know, the land that raised him, that are just so thoughtful and brilliant and true to life, in that he says in one place, I don't have the quote exactly, but you know, by the time you're 25, you basically have the mental equipment of your life, either because you embrace it or because you're reacting against it, one or the other. And his essays are all about that family history, the archaeology of his local area. And it's just, it's writing that inhabits the world he inhabits the way we would all, at least for myself, you would hope to be thoughtful about the way you're living and about where you've chosen to live or where life has chosen to put you, to be reacting to that and having all of that be resonant for you. Very powerful writer. Essays, almost entirely.
You're listening to WGXC 98.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Radio, Made with Radio.
Fridays on WGXC are made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Kurt Trumbull of Babylon, New York. Sustaining supporters like Kurt are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Next, we have these reports.
Wasn't born for digging deep holes. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. I'm not the type to work in a bank. I'm no good slapping on paint. Have a knack for making motors crank, no, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. So hand me one more, that's what I'm here for. I'm built for having a ball. I love the nightlife, I love my Bud Light. I like them cold and tall. I ain't much on mowing thick grass. I'm too slow for working too fast. I don't do windows, so honey, don't ask. But I'm pretty good at drinking beer. A go-getter, well, maybe I'm not. I'm not known for doing a lot. But I
I do my best work when the weather's hot, hot. I'm pretty good at drinking beer. So hand me one more, that's what I'm here for. I'm built for having a ball. I love the nightlife, I love my Bud Light. I like them cold and tall. I wasn't born for digging deep holes. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb highline poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. I'm pretty good at drinking beer. I'll hand me one more, boy. That's what I'm here for.
That was someone named Billy Currington. I'm not up on country and country music at all, but I thought that was pretty good. So if you're, you know, you want to be on the highest chord in the land, I think you ought to know that song, huh? Don't you think? Or eat some mozzarella balls. Ba-boom. Yeah, wait, we need a little sound on that one. What have we got here on the sound effects here? We've got... Yeah, well, okay. How about that? Ha-ha! Since I don't have an audience here today, I think we need a little sound effects. Come on, some more laughter. Oh, good. And a drum roll. Okay. Are we having fun yet? The gluten-free crust for a pumpkin pie. Now this one. This is the one. This is the one. Are you ready? Pen? Paper? All right, for the crust. A cup of pecans and a cup of rolled oats. Optional is a quarter cup of crystallized ginger. I have a note here that I didn't use it when I made this, but I think I would. And then 6 to 7 soft medjool dates, pitted and halved. A quarter cup, it just says a quarter, I must have meant a cup, quarter cup of coconut oil, softened, so you're going to melt it down a little bit. It's good for your skin, too. I use it for all kinds of things. And a quarter teaspoon of sea salt. And I might have added a few more dates, but you can also substitute 10 tablespoons of butter for the coconut oil, if you really want to do that. Either way. Okay, you got that? And then you process, you put it in a food processor, all those ingredients, and you buzz it and get it together. Okay, so you might need to add another date. It's got to be kind of the consistency of something that you can mush down. And then you press it into your pie pan. All right, so you do that. You press the whole thing into the pie pan. Are you visualizing this? You got the pecans, the oats, the dates all together, the coconut oil to hold it together. And you've got that down. And then you prick it with a fork in a couple of places. And then, well, you've preheated your oven to 325. I forgot to tell you that, okay? Preheat the oven to 325. I'm going to write that down so I rewrite it. 325. And then you heat this crust with nothing in it, just a blind bake. You heat it for about 10 minutes, then take it out and cool it, all right? Now, while it's cooling, you can make the filling. Now, this particular filling does have eggs, so it's gluten-free, but it's not totally dairy-free because it has the eggs. All right, so you take a cup of pumpkin puree. Now, a lot of people use canned pumpkins, and you can get them organic, too, or others. And then they say, you know, very often what I do is I take a butternut squash and I cut it in half and I roast it. I take out the seeds, I put it cut side down, and I roast it at about 375 until it starts to collapse. Maybe it's a half an hour or something like that. And then I take it out and I take the insides and I put it in a food processor and I buzz it. So you can either do that, and that's pumpkin, you know, the kind of Halloween pumpkins. They've been bred now so that people don't even eat them. You see squashes and pumpkins all over the streets these days, and some of them are really good food. I see these Hubbard and Turban pumpkins lying all around on people's lawns. It's very tempting to take them home. Okay, so you've got a cup of pumpkin puree, and you've got two eggs, and a cup of coconut milk. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and make sure it's real vanilla extract. You know, they put a lot of additives and things in that stuff. What I do is I take the vanilla sticks. What are they called? This is where you need somebody else here to help you out with words that you can't remember. You take the vanilla sticks, and you put them in a jar, and you add vodka to that. But you've got to let that sit. It's either a month or 2 months or 10 years. You just keep adding more of the vanilla sticks and more vodka, and you get the best vanilla extract ever. I have a jar that's been going for, well, like I said, 10 years. I don't think it's that long, but it might be getting a little close. And then you've got one about 2 teaspoons of pumpkin pie spice. Now, pumpkin pie spice, what's that? That's a combination of ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves. Pretty much that's it. Ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves is really what makes up pumpkin pie spice. So if you have some of that, or you buy the ready-made pumpkin pie spice, when it comes to spices, I like to grind my own. So I've got, you know, those coffee mills that you grind your coffee with in the morning? I have an extra one that's just for spices, and I put that in there, the cinnamon. The cinnamon that's really soft is a kind of a cassia, really. It's not those thick pieces of cinnamon that you get that are all rolled up, because if you put that into the coffee grinder, it's not going to grind up that well. But there is a soft kind. If you go over, and all the markets have like a Mexican or Spanish section, you'll see that there's a different kind of cinnamon there that's very soft. It's kind of broken up. It's not in rolls. That's the stuff that I use to grind for this, and it's very nice. And you can grind it all up. So put in some cinnamon, some nutmeg, a few cloves. You can cheat with ground cloves if you really have to, but I tend to use cloves for a lot of things. Like if I make soup, I often throw in a couple of cloves. And the nutmeg. You know, nutmeg is one of those wonderful things. The Italians use it a lot. It's one of those things that categorized as a, what's the word I'm looking for? Something that, like an up, something that makes you feel really positive. Basil leaves and oats and nutmeg are all in that category. I'll think of the word a little bit later. All right, so then you take the spice. That's the spice story. And you take a half a teaspoon of salt, a half a cup of maple syrup. I tend to like the dark maple syrup. It used to be called, I think, grade B, but they've gone away from that, and they have grade A dark. And then a quarter cup of cane sugar. And I tend to use, or turbinado. And you can get that organic also. I mean, it's still sugar, but hey, you know, you're making a pie. Then that's the filling. So you mix that all together. You can beat it with a fork. You can take out a whisk and put that together. And then you pour that into the crust. And now the oven is at 350. Sorry, I forgot to tell you. You raise the heat of the oven. So once you've taken out the crust, you raise the oven to 350, and then you have whisked the pumpkin and all of its ingredients, and then you pour it into your pecan rolled oat crust and put it on a sheet pan, put it into the oven, and bake about 30 minutes or until set, and then cool it. You can make it up to 2 days in advance and keep it covered in the refrigerator. Now, if you want to put something nice on top of it, you don't want dairy. Maybe you want a coconut whipping cream. If you can whip, yes, you can whip coconut milk. If you take a can of full-fat coconut milk that's chilled overnight, maybe put in like 2 tablespoons of powdered sugar and a little bit of vanilla extract, and beat it, you will have coconut whipping cream. Or, if you're not averse to using heavy cream, and the people who are coming to eat your beautiful pumpkin pie don't mind dairy, you can put make a maple whipping cream. You take about 8 ounces of heavy cream that's chilled, and again, about 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract, or more if you like, or put in some bourbon or rum at that point, and then 3 tablespoons of maple syrup. Now you whip the cream, you start whipping the cream first, and then you put in the additives, the vanilla extract or the bourbon or the rum and the maple syrup. And you bring that, now you can whip it until it's thick and it's standing up, or you can whip it to where it's just still really loose and a little bit runny. I go back and forth between which way I like the cream to be, how thick I want it to be.
The registration deadline for voting in the general election is October 12th. Mail registration must be postmarked no later than October 12th and received by election officials no later than October 17th. Anyone honorably discharged from the U.S. military or who became a naturalized U.S. citizen after October 13th may register in person at the Board of Elections up until October 27th. This year's election is November 6th and includes congressional elections throughout the country, statewide races for governor, state senate, and assembly, and local contests.
Right now, do you know that Friday, October 12th, is the deadline to register to vote? You got to do it by then. And you may even need to do it if you don't think you need to do it. There have been voters scrubbed from the polls. There's stories about it all over the interwebs. So you may want to check. I went to a Fox News story all about this, and they said go to rockthevote.org to see if you are registered to vote. So we're going to do this live. I went to rockthevote.org, and I filled in my stuff. Look, I got a little more stuff to fill in. It only takes about a second to fill in your stuff. And I'm going to press the look up my status button. And we're going to see what happens. If I'm registered to vote, I think I'm registered to vote. I believe I'm registered to vote, but we're going to press the look up my status button. I just filled in the blanks. And actually, I didn't even have to fill in most things because you just type one letter and then it takes care of everything for you. It remembers. And so I pressed the vote and nothing is happening. The page is blank. I guess it's looking up my... I would like a prompt that says, we are currently looking up your information to see if you are, but... No, nothing. Hello? Hello? Are you there? Their footer's on the page. Oh, I am. It's at the top of the page. And it's asking me if my correct address. Yes. And it says, awesome. Our records show that you are registered to vote. So there you go. How long did that take? A minute? So go, you can go to rockthevote.org and type in your information and see if you are indeed registered to vote. If not, you find out that you're not registered to vote, Friday is the deadline. Friday, October 12th, is the deadline to register to vote.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Zachary Matson is reporting for the Daily Gazette that Skidmore College has announced U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democrat, will debate her Republican challenger, Chili Farley, on October 21st. The debate will take place in the Arthur Zankel Music Center on Skidmore's Saratoga Springs campus. Both campaigns last month agreed to the debate, according to a Skidmore media release. Some tickets will be available to the public through pre-registration. The hour-long debate will be moderated by Liz Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight, and Earl Lewis, a political anchor for New York One. Read the full story in the Daily Gazette. Bruce Goldling is reporting for the New York Post. The lawyer for the company whose stretched limo was involved in the horrific crash that killed 20 people in Schoharie County over the weekend has denied that safety violations uncovered during an inspection last month caused the vehicle to blow past a stop sign and smash into a drainage ditch. Prestige Limousine lawyer Lee Kindlin told CBS News, and I quote, "I don't think that these infractions were what led to the tragedy," end quote. In another interview, Kindlin said that the limo safety issues, and I quote, had been addressed and corrected, end quote. Kindlin also disputed a statement from Governor Andrew Cuomo that the Department of Transportation found problems with the vehicles, and I quote, "suspension system, chassis system, braking system," end quote. Kindlin said, and I quote, "The inspections last month were minor things, windshield wipers, a latch on the windshield that needed to be fixed," end quote. All 17 passengers and the driver, who was not properly licensed, were killed in the October 6 crash outside the Apple Barrel Country Store and Cafe on Route 30A in Schoharie. Two bystanders were also killed when they were hit by a parked car struck by the limo in the store's parking lot. Read the full story in the New York Post. Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union. State Senate candidate Democrat Aaron Glad has received the endorsement of Republican Roy McDonald. McDonald lost the Republican line in a heated primary to Senator Kathy Marchione in 2012. McDonald and Glad both served in the U.S. Army's 1st Cavalry Division, one of the Army's most decorated units. Both saw combat, Glad in Afghanistan and McDonald in Vietnam. McDonald said he has known Glad for 10 years and was impressed with how he overcame an impoverished upbringing in Saranac Lake. Glad's opponent, Republican Daphne Jordan, has served as Marchione's legislative director for 6 years. Jordan announced over the weekend that she was endorsed by the Police Benevolent Association of New York State. The association represents about 1,200 officers from the Park Police, state universities, Department of Environmental Conservation, and Forest Rangers. Read the full story in the Times Union. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting postal workers concerned about the Trump administration's idea to privatize the Postal Service rallied at the intersection of Route 17K and 300 in Newburgh October 8th to send their message to the public. Union Local 3722 President Diana Klein said privatizing the service would mean a decline in customer service and delivery. Klein said, and I quote, "Not only would the prices go up, but if you are in a rural area, you are not going to get served. They are going to take the areas where they are going to be able to make the most money and be easiest, and that is all they're going to serve. So service will not get better. It will get more expensive," end quote. She said U.S. Representatives John Faso and Sean Maloney both support a move to keep the Postal Service as is. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Wednesday should be partly sunny with a high near 75, low around 63 Wednesday night, but the showers and rain arrive after 3 a.m., patchy fog in the morning, too. Thursday, there's a 100% chance of rain. It could be very heavy at times, close to 1 inch possible in some areas. Thursday with a high of 69. Thursday night, showers continue, 50% chance, with a low around 50. Then Friday, it should be partly sunny with a high near 54 and a low around 41. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported creative community radio. Representative John Faso is the guest on Something to Talk About at 2 p.m. on WGXC. Then at 4 p.m. during our pullover pledge drive, Rebecca Alamillo from Community Action of Greene County is the guest on the WGXC afternoon show. Please call in 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate to keep WGXC coming through your speakers. We're asking for 250 folks to make a sustainable pledge for recurring support to WGXC. WGXC so we can end the pledge drive as we know it on WGXC. And before we've even started, we've got two of our 250. So if you are already a sustainer who can up their pledge, or if you have never given to WGXC before, we need just 248 more people to make a sustainable pledge to WGXC at wgxc.org/donate. At 7:30 p.m., tune in an extra web stream, tonight's Columbia County Board of Supervisors meeting with Dan Udell using the WGXC app. Click on Listen Now at any wgxc.org webpage and scroll down to find the Columbia County Board of Supervisors meeting after 7:30 p.m. At 8 p.m. at High Low in Catskill, there's an interplanetary music show of the sounds of Sun Ra with all sorts of local performers, including Keith Prey, Chris Payson, Scott Petito, Otto Hauser, Tyler Wood, Jonathan Talbot, Danny Bloom, Mitch Kessler, Don Mickelson, and others. Tune in this special web stream at any WGXC page. Click on Listen Now. Scroll down to find the extra web stream from High Low in Catskill tonight on the radio.
Pull over. Gently.
Nice and easy.
That's it. Pull over and pledge your support to WGXC 90.7 FM during our sustaining supporter pledge drive October 10th through October 23rd. Do it now at wgxc.org/donate and consider becoming a sustaining supporter. By becoming a sustaining supporter, you're investing in community radio every month. Your financial support is tax deductible, allows WGXC to meet the most basic operating costs, and keeps WGXC on your FM dial.
No way!
Yes way!
From our studios in Hudson, Catskill, and Acre, New York, WGXC has brought Green and Columbia County's local news, opinions, music, traffic reports, politics, interviews, live performances, and more for over 7 years. So stop. Pull over and donate. WGXC.org/donate.
Stop and get out of your car if you can, starting Wednesday, October 10th, with the WGXC Pullover Pledge Drive. If you spend the morning on the road listening to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Live at 8 a.m., or if your afternoon involves spending time with hosts on 90.7 FM, consider making a pledge during the Pullover Pledge Drive. Your collection of community voices is different than public radio. We're not interested in reporting on the president's whereabouts every 5 minutes. Instead, WGXC provides the community a chance to have their say about local issues like the Greene County Jail, water problems in Nassau and Hoosick Falls, the 19th congressional election, and more. You can hear more coverage of those issues on the air on 90.7 FM than anywhere else in the local media landscape. So consider making a sustainable pledge to WGXC, a recurring donation to keep WGXC available on your car radio at 90.7 FM.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Here's Hudson musician Emily Ritz with the song Great Dunes from her 2018 local release Pattern Recess.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image. make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.